Tomorrow all the things were gone. I worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt.
Pirate, every time I hear this song, freaking moves me, man.
Oh man,
lump in my throat. We're gonna through pirate suggestion, we're gonna keep playing that for you in the background as we do this intro here. I'm just trying to find
a sweet spot, Chewy.
Yeah, how about right about
man?
That?
It's a very great patriotic anthem for 81-year-old Lee Greenwood. God bless his soul. Well,
and I tell you, man. So. This is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. A little bit of a different introduction there. And this is show number 32. We're recording this on July 16th, 2024. A couple little show announcements, guys. This is going to be probably one of our last times we use commercial music. Pirate and I are trying to promote the podcast, and we're trying to get out there on Spotify and Apple Music and a couple other platforms. In order to do that, we cannot use copyrighted music anymore. So, because this is my own website, I kind of skirt and get away with it right now. No one's going to come after a small podcast like this, because we're doing this as just a couple buddies that have a hobby for the love of talk or talk. Talk, as our New York buddies would say.
We got the gift of gab, I guess.
Yeah, we got the gift of the gab. Exactly. So, yeah, today will be the last show where we use this. And I figured since we're going to get right into this here, we're going to talk about this Trump assassination. And I just figured this was a great way to end having commercial music on our show and have this as our one of our final songs. We got a song of the week for you still, too, which we'll get to later on. If you didn't already cheat ahead and read the show notes, you'll know what the song of the week is. But if you're just listening along and like to be surprised, you'll see what the or listen to what the show of the week is. So, yeah, man, let's get into this. Assassination, man. Crazy enough, you and I were hanging out Saturday night when I got the call from a buddy of mine to let us know what had just happened. And then it was funny. I remember you're checking foxnews.com and you're like, Chewy, ain't nothing going on here. But then I went to a different website, and Breitbart, I think, and boom, there it was. I'm like, holy shit, man.
Yeah, I received a text from an aunt of mine that, you know, my aunt, my dad were originally from that area of Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they keep tabs on news from that area. And sure enough, you know, my aunt had texted me and said, did you see what happened? There was an attempt on Trump. And I said, oh boy. And she goes, it was in Butler,
PA.
And I have been to that town. And I said, yeah. Oh man, that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I know we're, you know, whenever something happens like that, like the Reagan assassination, the Kennedy assassination, the attempt on Reagan, the attempt on Trump, you're going to remember where you were at that day.
You're going to remember where you're at and
who you're with.
The photos that have already come out of it have just been, in my opinion, what are going to be iconic. A buddy of mine mentioned, he sent me the text and he says, I think this picture just won the presidency. Now, I'm not ready to take it that far yet, but if you want to talk about kind of turning a guy into a martyr, I mean, don't get me wrong. Technically, martyrism is you have to die on the sword to prove your point and make people back up your stance more. But there's a slight martyrism when you survive an assassination attempt as well. And I found it very powerful when, you know, Trump got shot and then he realized that, you know, with the sound cracking of the rifle, that, you know, it was time to hit the deck. And he didn't have Secret Service jump him right away. He did that instinctively.
Sure.
So either that was good training, good instincts, or a combination of both. And I guess if I was in that situation myself, if my ear all of a sudden bleeds and burns and I'm hearing firecrackers, maybe it's time to hit the deck, even if it's not a gun. Because sometimes a firework can go stray. Look what happened at your party. The cinder block blew up, right? I mean, that was pretty crazy. I mean, almost like a grenade out there.
Yeah, that thing blew up smithereens.
But I think, and I don't mean to get all spiritual here and everything, I think it was a miracle he survived. Because two or three other people did get shot, bystanders. One guy lost his life protecting his family. He tried to shield his family.
Sure, he was a fire chief.
And yeah, and basically, the couple of the bullets that missed Trump hit the people on the other end of where that bullet was going down into the crowd.
Sure.
So this guy killed, you know, innocent people.
And it makes you might want to think, maybe going further, if Trump has any other rallies outside, are there going to be people sitting behind him? Maybe not.
Well, security is definitely going to get reviewed and changed immediately.
Oh, it's going to get beefed up.
Even today, and this is going to be a long segment, folks. We might not get to other segments. Pirate and I have a lot to talk about with this subject.
Yeah.
And we're going to bounce around a little bit, but we are all over the road, right? Well, even today, Pirate, the Minneapolis police gunned down a guy who got past a security barrier with a knife and refused to surrender it.
You got to be kidding me.
He's dead.
Another wackadoo, huh?
He's dead. Yep. But yet somehow he got past the first check of security or something.
How does that happen?
Exactly. We don't need this.
So why are these people not doing their jobs that they've been trained to do?
Well, the conspiracy theory is they're allowing these holes to happen so somebody can take out Trump. It's a conspiracy theory. I'm not saying I'm buying into it.
I know.
But you know what? It's plausible.
It is.
It's not, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say it's deniable.
Well, one of the biggest things is, you know, what's driving these folks, these so-called crazies, to come out of the woodwork and want to actually come after Trump?
It summons down to one word, fear.
And it's fear of Trump.
Fear. Because the world agenda right now, the New World Order, which is, again, conspiracy level crap, but it's pretty apparent it's everywhere on fucking planet. The New World Order's goal is to make a united government where we just basically become subservient to what the elite are going to tell us what to do. And we see it happening in the world right now.
Sure.
We're seeing it happen in our own country. We're seeing it happen overseas.
It almost happened during COVID.
Well, part of COVID was that a vaccine mandate. Mm-hmm. Our federal government tried to tell us either we take this shot or we lose our livelihood, meaning you lose your job. They weren't going to throw you in jail over it, but that's how far it got.
And meanwhile, elitist folks were able to go out and do what they wanted to do, go to baseball games, go right. to the barber shop,
getting their hair done.
Yeah.
How about Gavin Newsom went to that French laundry in Napa Valley? It's not a laundry. It's called just the French laundry. It's a restaurant.
Okay.
And during, while his state was literally locked down, sitting inside, enjoying a meal cooked by somebody else, which you do at restaurants, no masks, no social distancing. So, you know, it's a bit of
an elitist mentality. Yeah, I'm better than you. Right.
It's a bit of a tangent there.
You do as I say, not as I do.
Right. But this is where this has gone to. And then the left wants to tell us that it's not like that, but it doesn't matter. We're at the point now where you cannot talk your way out of this.
No,
because they have been using the rhetoric for years about, it'd be nice to assassinate Trump. It'd be nice if he'd go to jail and all kind of names, which I'm going to get into. But they're the ones who've been promoting violence, but they immediately try to go after the right over it, yet they can't prove that there's any violence. They like to bring up January 6th. And January 6th, even though it was bullshit of these people to do it, when it comes around to brass tacks, that was a trespassing incident. That wasn't a government takeover. They like to call it an insurrection, but it wasn't an insurrection.
And what that does is those actual vocabulary words, like you say, like from Charlottesville. He was a white supremacist.
No, he said there were fine people on both sides, and the media tried to say that Trump promoted white supremacy.
Yeah, and those
and approved of it.
And what happens is when you're on the outer fringe, wackadoo people that they might not be lib or Republican, but they're just cuckoos. They're going to be watching the news, and they're having a meltdown at their home.
It's the leftists and it's the rightists which are really screwing the country up. And I think it's more of the leftists right now because sure. You don't hear much about from the extreme right. I mean, who would you consider extreme right? I really can't think of a whole lot of people. Maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's a little crazy, but she seems a lot more coherent now, or that's not even the word, just more grounded compared to the squad in the Democrat Party, the AOCs, the Ilhan Omar, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, what happens is, too, is, you know, you imagine these wackadoo dudes, just some dude like this guy that shot at Trump, you know, they're sitting at home getting all lathered up, hearing these vocabulary words and rhetoric being spit out by the media.
Well, that's what they're doing. They're trying to use academia terms on you to spin things to make it sound like, well, this is more Trump's fault. And the media did. There were already some talking heads tried to blame Trump for this. They some libs called it a photo shoot.
Yes.
Of him raising the fist with a bloody ear. They said that was staged and slash or a photo shoot. I'm sorry, man. There is something wrong with you. There's something sick that instead of recognizing the scenario of somebody tried to kill a presidential candidate, somebody tried to kill a former president, somebody killed a bystander and hurt others. To say all that was a photo shoot, dude, there's something wrong with you. And I've had two or three people give personal comments either on a messenger or Facebook that I was only promoting a photo shoot. And I didn't know who these people are. Like I see it's another tangent in a way. I rarely do politics on Facebook, but I was so fired up about the assassination attempt, I said, screw this. I'm going to talk the way I want to talk. And then it turned into a debate because Crazy Jimmy got a hold of it.
Okay.
Right. I know we don't drop names there, but with him, it doesn't matter. But we'll just say, call him CJ, but it's just, it's so out of control now and it's so obvious that what they're doing and they just want to try to spin everything back to Trump. Like he set this up, like he's such a master of acting in disguise. One guy tried to say he went as far as he'd used a blood gel pack to explode on his ear to make it look like he was shot.
And the fact that people get triggered by these vocabulary words, like when someone
they want you to get triggered though.
Like for example, and I know everybody out there, big surprise, I'm a white guy. Okay. So when someone says to me, white supremacy,
where?
Of course, it doesn't trigger me to do anything. Now,
what they try to turn it into white privilege. You know, you don't understand because you got white privilege.
And that's the thing. And here's the thing. Okay, I get it. I'm not a black guy. I wouldn't know what a black guy feels or a Spanish guy feels or a Chinese guy feels when someone says white supremacy. But to me, those are just vocabulary words that people are throwing out there. They're terms. And really, we know in these days, 2024, we are not back in the days of the 30s when
with the KKK and
when white supremacy actually was happening.
Right. And that's the thing. All that's been curbed over the years, but they still want to play victim. Certain people, and I'm not talking the black people, I'm talking about white liberals.
Yes, they're liberal
still want to play the victim card, even though things have gotten better, things have been approved.
And they're using it for their advantage, Chewy.
Because they control these people.
To control the mentality and the thinking and contrive people to be in this mindset.
But back to my point of how sick are you? Instead of addressing that a presidential candidate almost got assassinated, you want to call it a photo shoot.
It is not a photo shoot.
You and I both know that.
Yes.
But that's their big defense. That's what they conjured up with. They truly, I'm having a hard time believing that they, now listen to me. I'm having a hard time believing that they believe their bullshit.
I just
that's
can't believe
out of control it
that,
is.
That insensitivity, you know, talk
right.
about now,
sensitivity.
Talk
there
about nowadays,
right.
everybody has to be sensitive.
Right, right.
And you're going to take, the guy was the former president of the United States.
Almost killed.
And he's a president-elect. He's running for president, and he was almost killed.
Right.
You're going to tell
me. And a bystander was killed.
And other people were injured. And people, other people, if no one would have stopped that bastard up on the roof, he would have went to town.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen it happen at Jason Aldean concerts. We've seen it happen at schools. We've seen it happen at stores, malls, so on, so on, so on. But the big to-do is, you know, are you going to call the ride in Dallas when John F. Kennedy Jr. or John F. Kennedy Sr. was in the Cadillac?
Right, right.
And we've seen that a million times on TV.
The Zapruder films.
Yeah. And is that a photo op? Oh, who that?
Oh, yeah. I see your point. Yeah, that was a photo op.
Yeah. Did that actually happen?
That was a photo op.
We could say, is that a photo? Because all you see from far away.
And you make a great point, Pirate. The funny thing about politics is all you have to do is flip it around. You do an equal 50-50 split, and all of a sudden, it's no longer cool.
No, it isn't.
Right. It no longer. Then it turns into people will still double down on the deny and say, how dare you compare this to
John
JFK? Right.
Well I am.
Yeah, yeah. And I am because you're dismissing it as a photo shoot instead of seeing that the guy's ear was actually fucking shot off halfway, however what it is. But you know what? Trump shows up to the convention with the patch over his ear.
Sure.
And Trump was visibly moved by emotion at the convention center.
I could tell he was a little bit stoic.
Yeah. Well, not stoic means that he doesn't show any emotion.
Well, I mean, not stoic. He was set back.
He was. Because you use the right term just in the wrong context.
Yes.
He is a stoic most of the time.
Yes.
So for him to show emotion, and that's the thing, I haven't watched much of the convention, but we are all over the roads here. But here's a couple good points that are coming out of this, and then we're going to get back to going off on them. Elon Musk says he's committing $45 million a month to the Trump campaign.
Awesome.
Wow.
We need it.
Robert Kennedy Jr. will now get Secret Service protection.
He needs it.
After months of denial.
He should have had it all along.
After Joe Biden. Right. So here's the thing. Biden and the media have now asked people to tone it down on all sides. Okay. I'm going to give you a reminder of where the left and where mainstream media have not toned down. And this is all over the road again.
Sure.
They've called Trump a Hitler. Okay. That in itself is horrible. Because before I even get through this list, and I got plenty of talking points here, by calling Trump a Hitler, you cheapen what Hitler actually did.
Sure you did.
Yeah, you absolutely cheapen what he did.
I mean, what Hitler did is he completely crushed Europe and put a lot of people in ovens, and he destroyed millions and millions of lives of people from all the way from Russia all the way.
Yeah, and they want to Great Britain. And they want to compare possibly our future president to the same guy.
No, no,
exactly. And then Hitler never left office.
Oh, he
Trump,
did it.
Trump did.
Trump did.
So what kind of dictator leaves office, you know, but again, it's hyperbole. So yeah, to me, the one of the most disgusting things is calling him Hitler.
That's a trigger word that probably affects people.
Yes.
I know when you say the word, it's like if I were to walk in a room and I just yelled, "Hell Hitler."
Right. Right.
People would look around.
Right.
And why to this day that hurts people is because there's a lot
You don't want to be compared to one of the most evil people on this planet.
Yes.
And Hitler's right up there with Stalin, with Mussolini, with Genghis Khan, conquering people. Mao Zedong, all the Kims from the Koreas, North Korea.
Sure.
All these people are mass murderers.
They are.
And that's why I have such a problem with people on the left, is because their policies gear more towards the totalitarian side, where the government knows best, and we're going to give you what you think they do. And they'll sit there and say, oh, that's bullshit. We're still for pro-gun and freedom of speech and everything. It says you say that, but you still vote for the people who are against that stuff. Mm-hmm. So where is your principles? And that's where it gets all muddy with politics, is that it's hard to understand people's principles. And we even, heck, we're complicated human beings. We all are. I'm not perfect either. We contradict ourselves a lot of times. But calling the man Hitler, to me, that is the scum of the scum right there. To me, you're not even thinking that much.
Well, and it's
yet they claim to be educated people and know better and are condescending to you and all this stuff, blah, 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 blah.
Basically, that's just punching Trump in the balls is what that is.
Trying to. But we got a lot more in this list because they want us to tone down the rhetoric.
Sure.
They said he's a threat to freedom. Trump will end democracy. Trump will jail journalists, will end the free press. Everything's about Russia, Russia. Trump is a Russia agent, which turned out to be all bullshit and a bunch of lies. Called him a traitor. Said he's unfit for office. Says he's the enemy of the state. Said he's a convicted felon. That he's extremist. That MAGA are white and terrorists. He accuses Trump of violence on January 6th, but ignored mainly peaceful protests of under George Floyd. Which is like, wow, what else that we got here? He'll vote for Trump to voting for Trump will end all voting after that. Like Trump will eliminate the vote.
They're saying that he's going to be a dictator if he becomes president again.
Right. They said it's going to be the end of the country, that he's a fascist, that he's a racist. Okay. And they have the balls to tell us to cool the rhetoric? Look, Republicans, too, have said some nasty things about Joe Biden. However, looking back at it, especially picking on his brain cognitive thing, I don't think they're wrong about it. Because that was another denial for the last couple years here. And now after that debate performance, and then he had these interviews with George Stephanopoulos, he had the interview with Lester Holt. The guy's fucking shot, man.
Yeah, he's a little bit.
And I think he's being abandoned now, too. So he's more on his own and the staff are freaking out.
Yeah, he's a little bit old for what he's doing. He's definitely dementia'd and he is very slow to respond. He looks bewildered.
Right. And then here's the thing. He actually commented last week, it's time to put Trump in the bullseye.
See, that's using vocabulary words again.
But that's dangerous.
That trigger.
Right, but it does trigger, but that's also dangerous talk to say that. And the thing is, I can hear it now. Oh, come on, man. He didn't mean it in that context. And I know what you mean by that. I don't think he wanted to specifically target Trump either. However, several years ago, when Sarah Palin was running for office, she put out a map of the USA. And she put targets on the cities where she has to focus more. And the media tore her apart over that. Look, she's inciting violence by putting targets over the cities and everything. So, just like I said earlier with politics, all you got to do is flip the script a little bit, and you can have selective outrage like them.
Yeah.
Or defend the guy. So, Joe Biden was on Lester Holt, and Lester Holt asked him about that comment, and he still didn't answer the question to the context of, I didn't mean it that way. This is what I really meant. He went back and actually used that word target again. So I have a sound clip. This is a 33-second sound clip from that interview. I'm going to play it, and then we will opine.
You called your opponent an existential threat on a call a week ago. You said it's time to put Trump in the bullseye. There's some dispute about the context, but I think you appreciate
that. I didn't see crosshairs. I was talking about focus on. Look, the truth of the matter was, what I guess I was talking about at the time was, there's very little focus on Trump's agenda.
Yeah, the term is bullseye.
It was a mistake to use the word. I didn't say crosshairs. I meant bullseye. I meant focus on it. Focus on.
Dude, He still didn't answer the question.
No, he even said crosshairs and focus on it.
He tried to say, I said crosshairs.
Yes.
When in his speech, he says, I quote, it's time to put Trump in the bullseye. So Lester Holt tried to correct him and said the term was bullseye. And then he doubled down by saying, oh, I didn't mean crosshair. Crosshair was never brought up.
No, it never was. And
this guy wants to be president again? Look, I understand if you don't like Trump. And this whole bit here is not about defending the assassination. Let's just go on the personality side for a second. I get you don't like him. He's got a big mouth, okay? He does mean tweets.
And he's rich.
And he's rich. Compared to the guy we have now.
Well.
And look at it this way, Democrats. Since you like politics, but you don't seem to follow it all too well. You can easily turn in politics, and it's all good. During the primaries, Kamala called Joe Biden a racist. And then they became buddies. J.D. Vance was an anti-Trumper.
Big time.
And now he's the VP candidate.
And he said, you know, at the time, he was a Kool-Aid drinker.
And he was a Kool-Aid drinker.
And he said, after he's seen the performance in his first couple years, he said, look, this guy is really doing what he promised to do.
Right, right. So back to the assassination attempt. I think this is a major movement in the political atmosphere of this country because the Democrats have been talking nasty for years now. And they were nasty even now with trying to say it's a photo shoot. There were some people on TikTok saying we wish he didn't miss. Jack Black had to cancel his tour because his bass player said don't miss next time or something like that. Oh, so now now he's embarrassed.
See, why would you say shit like that? Right. It's just tasteless. Right.
But that's the thing. The internet's forever. So some of these people are endorsing the assassination attempt. So what it does, it proves to me all the rhetoric they've been talking about, and they have the balls to tell us to cool down now. I'm tired of being cool about it.
Well, every time they use vocabulary words like that, it just heats up other people that are Trump haters, and it just pushes them over the edge to the point where they might not say, I'm going to go get a gun and shoot him, but like you said, they're going to go on an X or they're going to go on some
They're going to do internet activism.
Internet terrorism or what have you. Internet shooting.
Terrorism, whatever. Yeah,
whatever the word is.
Yeah.
And they're going to go out there and do an assassination by internet, not by gun.
Right.
And that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And also it assassinates their career usually.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
why would you put something out there like that? That just, that type of shit should be to yourself and your friends, not out on the world wide web.
Oh, no, but everybody wants to be a star.
They do.
And here's the other historical thing. We have not had a president or a presidential candidate shot since Reagan.
1981.
So, So, I mean, think about it, Pirate. Had he turned a couple inches to the other direction, that bullet would have went through his brain and that would have been lights out. And then what are the leftists going to say? Because, like I said, they've already celebrated, some of them. They've already denied by saying this is a photo shoot.
Well, let's
that this was staged.
Let's back up a minute here. Let's open the onion up a little bit of appeal here, a layer. What would have happened if Trump would have been killed in that assassination? Think about this.
Well, here's the thing. Conservatives don't tend to get violent in masses. Okay. So you asked a hypothetical question. I don't think there'd be some mass uprising.
No, I don't think that.
Okay. But here's the thing. Just back to earlier with my comment to flip the script. Okay. What if this happened to Barack Obama? I think this country would be on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Because
all the windows.
Because here's the thing that the media is not talking about. This was a white dude.
Yes, it was.
He's a white dude. Now, imagine, again, white dude. And I know straw man argument. I can't stand when people tell me that because they don't like hypotheticals. They don't like what could be. But it's tied. I'm trying to do a correlation here. All I'm doing is flip the script. Had the same exact thing happen to Barack Obama. now or as a presidential candidate. It doesn't matter. He's retired now. He's still famous amongst the Democrats. Okay, he is. Like him or not, he is. What if he was at some college doing some speech and the same exact thing happened? Because guess what? Barack Obama has Secret Service protection too. He's a former president.
Yes, he does.
Do you think the mainly peaceful protests are coming back, or what would, or I'm kind of putting words in your mouth. Scratch that. Kind of like in the court. I'm leading the witness.
You know what I think would happen?
What would happen?
Exactly what you're thinking right now that you're slowly getting to. The windows to Champion sporting goods would be busted open.
Oh, yeah.
And Molotov cocktails would be thrown. Yeah. The streets, cars would be flipped over.
So as the media said at the last time, the mainly peaceful protests will be back.
Yes. I mean, they're
because
not.
Because they can't call it a riot.
In my eyes, they're not peaceful, but if you want to call them that.
But I'm mocking that.
Yes.
That's what the media, when George Floyd got murdered or killed, whatever, from those cops. I don't want to get into that. That's another tangent. Either way, the correlation being is that cities all over this country, including ours, rioted, but the media try to call it mainly peaceful protests.
Sure.
Billions, like over $2.5 billion in property damage. A lot of businesses went bankrupt, was unrecoverable. I read a story about some poor firefighter just retired, opened up a bar, had nothing to do with the riots, and they torched his entire bar down, just opened, like 2 days prior. Like, he retired, I'm starting a new life as a bartender, I'm happy.
He was opening an Engine Number 9 pub, and
probably
he was
something
happy.
Cool, yeah. Probably firefighter yeah. theme in there.
Yeah.
You know, I bet you that'd be a cool place to go hang out.
Yeah.
And these fuckers, these mainly peaceful protests, burnt it down because they were pissed off about some guy, some drug addict that they didn't even know about. So, but that's the difference in the response. And the response now is, at least with me, and I think a lot of people, I'm done being silent about this.
Sure.
And we need to talk about this. Throwing your problems underneath the rug doesn't make it go away anymore.
And keeping your opinions bottled up, everybody, whether you're on the left or right.
Exactly.
It's a good time right now for everybody. If you eventually want this unity, we all need to get all of it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's been too many years, the last four. Let's even go back during the times of Trump, because I'm sure the folks on the left were a little bit fired up that whole 4 years that Trump was in office.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got 8 years of bottled up, intense.
We're about to pop.
Anger, hatred,
mm-hmm.
you know, disgust, jealousy, you know, all of that's bottled up and we're about ready to explode.
Well, but here's the thing. The bottling up, a lot of it is created from the left as well. They started with he's not a legitimate candidate, to he's not a legitimate president, to Russia, Russia, Russia.
Remember, they're using vocabulary right. words again that trigger people to do things.
But you and I are not on the same page when it comes to that. What I'm trying to tell you is that the point being is that they kept going after this guy, and despite them going after this guy, the country was still doing pretty good.
Sure.
Until COVID hit. And COVID hit, Trump took some blame. I blame him for some things that reacted because he listened to Fauci and Birx too long.
Well,
the lockdowns were too long.
You are right.
The vax didn't work. The vax did work. The vax gives you side effects, nor does it stop or spread, you know, stop COVID from spreading, or does it stop you from getting it. Those were the things that were promised to us. But now the Kool-Aid drinkers are going to tell me, well, it's a symptom reducer. Well, guess what else is a symptom reducer, Pirate? Advil.
Sure is.
Or maybe some whiskey.
Yeah.
How about Royal? How about the devil's grass? You know, those are symptom reducers as well. But we still have people out there drinking that Kool-Aid and trying to tell us how it is. And the thing is, we've got so many prideful people, even when they know they're wrong, they won't admit it. And that's what's happening with Trump. Now they know the line has been crossed, but they still will vote for Joe because it's Trump. Even with an assassination attempt, they couldn't even, some of them, again, I'm not saying all of them, they couldn't even recognize the terribleness of this. They wanted to try to say It was a photo shoot. And here's what's so funny about that. There is humor to this. Morning Joe, MSNBC's flag morning show, Monday through Wednesday. Joe Scarborough and Mika Kaczynski, however the fuck you call her name. Ultra-left liberals, even though Joe Scarborough used to be a Republican. That don't mean shit to me. You're a fucking leftist from hell. They had their show pulled on Monday.
I seen that.
And you know why? The rumor on the fire camp? Because they were afraid their show and their panel would say something stupid about the assassination.
So and they usually are commenters, aren't they?
Yes, they're commentators, but they're commentators for the they're dog whistle people for for the Democrat Party. So here's the write up here. MSNBC will not air Morning Joe, its celebrated politics roundtable program on Monday, opting instead to air continued breaking news coverage of the attempted assassination of former President Trump. The Progressive News Network confirmed the decision to preempt its influential and top-rated morning show after the CNN inquiry Sunday evening. The network said the show will resume airing on Tuesday. The decision by MSNBC to leave one of its most recognizable programs on the sidelines amid a seismic politics-driven news cycle, with the Republican National Convention getting underway in the wake of Saturday's shooting at Trump's campaign rally, is certainly going to raise eyebrows. A person familiar with the matter told CNN that the decision was made to avoid a scenario in which one of the show's stable of 24+ guests might make an inappropriate comment on live television that we could use to assail the program and network as a whole. Given the breaking news nature of the story, the person said, it made more sense to continue airing rolling breaking news coverage in the fraught political moment. So basically, they pulled the show because they're afraid somebody's going to play stupid. All right. And here's a little more here, and we'll get to our opinion on this. Last year, after Hamas executed its deadly October 7th attack in Israel, MSNBC quietly pulled three of the Muslim broadcasters from air. That move, which came after pro-Israeli forces criticized the tone of MSNBC's coverage, left some staffers on the network feeling uncomfortable. Semaphore reported at the time, whoever that is. So Morning Joe and Mika threatened to quit if MSNBC ever keeps them off the air again because they said they were lied to. But this is what happens when your network thrives on hatred of President Trump. So they basically called out their bosses this morning. This happened just this morning, that they, you better not do this again. And I'm sorry, if I'm the boss, my subordinates do not threaten me. I'm the boss.
Sure.
I tell you what to do, and that's how it is. Of course, you're open for discussion and stuff like that. But that goes to show you the confidence and the aura of what's happening at MSNBC, at least on Morning Joe, that their boss says, we can't even do a show Monday because these fucking idiots are going to say something dumb.
Well, I think, what did they expect? They've been talking this way for many, many years about Trump.
Back to all those things.
Yes, all of
that I went through. Yet they want to tell us to cool the rhetoric.
And
why should we?
What did they expect after all of these years?
Mm-hmm.
All of the accusations.
They think we're supposed to forget about it.
And no one forgets. We take scores and we've taken points every time.
I've got all this list here, which, you know, again, probably one of my leftist friends will just dismiss. They said nobody ever said that. But, you know, that's right to the denial.
Well, and it's just, what did they expect? This is what you get when you put this type of rhetoric, this type of media. You've got folks that have grown up hearing this day after day after day.
I know. It gets tiresome.
Now they become adults. They get a little cuckoo in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they got access to a gun and they get an AR and now they're up on a roof.
Well, you know what? I was waiting since you brought up AR, and I didn't put this on my show notes, and I'm glad you brought that up. Guess who talked about having an assault weapons ban today? Joe Biden.
Oh boy.
Again. So look at it this way. How disgusting is it that he's making an assassination attempt on his rival into a political message?
Man, anything for them to get control of
that's
the guns.
That's all it is, man.
They want control of the guns.
But what Joe Biden, politically, it's actually a good tactician. It's tactful to do this, because what he's doing is now he wants to ride the coattails of an AR was used against Trump.
Yeah.
He wants to ride the coattails of his time to ban weapons of war, as he liked to call
what
it.
What he's going
to
say is, well, you know, they were using assault rifle against
the assault weapons, assault rifle.
Yeah, assault rifle, and I don't condone it.
Well, he talked about it today at the NAACP thing, and he said he banned them before.
He's banned them before.
Basically, he was one of the senators that voted for the assault weapons ban in the 90s.
Sure.
And you know what it did for crime? Zero.
Yes, it
did. Because rifles are one of the least used things when it comes to murdering people. But he said a whole bunch of lies today. He said more children are killed by guns in this country than anything else. Comparing it to car accidents, stillborn, births, accidents in the house,
drownings,
accidental drownings. God forbid. Hey, some kind of disease like cancer or leukemia or something that just kills these kids young, right? Which is very, very sad. He said today, guns kill more children than anything else combined. Now, I didn't look up those numbers yet, but that sounds a little off and suspicious.
Well, I guess it depends what town you're talking about. Maybe.
No, I'm talking about the whole country, man.
Well, the whole country? Well, that can't be true, because every day in the news I don't hear, 5-year-old got shot by an AR, just walking outside.
Right, right. Well, you know what it is? When those mass shooting incidents happen, that's when it's usually an AR. And that's when it's time to go after the AR. By the definition, even at the Trump assassination, 4 people got shot. That falls under the purview of a mass shooting.
Well, it was domestic terrorism.
That too. Oh, yeah. And they killed that guy. I don't know exactly who did it. I'm going to suspect one of those 2 snipers on top of the roof.
Sharpshooter.
But let's talk about that part of the thing, because you mentioned it in show prep. Well, what about the whole security debacle, man? I mean, it's... Well,
they said that the Butler Police Department...
Butler?
Mm-hmm, Butler.
Yeah, they assist.
They were supposed to assist in that actual area of that perimeter of that building.
Yeah, that rooftop.
They were supposed to assist. Now, mind you, if I'm in the Secret Service and I'm the head boss lady, I'm going to be like, I'm sending one of our guys up there to reinsure that you guys did your job right.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is,
you're supposed to check on each other.
This is Mayberry where we're going. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe homeboy went down to Starbucks and got a donut and a coffee and said, yeah, it's good up there.
Yeah.
Or who knows, he might be a Trump hater.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, that building's fine. You don't know. But if you're on a Secret Service detail and I'm the boss lady of the Secret Service or boss man, whatever the hell, You're going to go and send your team up there. Hey, go up there with that guy that said that rooftop's clear. And let's check it. And call me on the radio and let me know it's clear and stay your ass up there.
Well, there should have been security at that building on the perimeter. And there should have been agents or police on top of the roof as well. The other criticism, and I'm not going to criticize too much, but I think it was more of a random shot. The fact that it was only about 140 yards, and this guy missed.
Well,
that is an easy shot, man.
I mean, we don't know how long that kid's had his AR rifle. We don't
11
know.
Years. It's already came out. He bought it 11 years ago, so they can't pull the background check crap. Didn't work. He's had it for 11 years.
So he was a 20-year-old dude, bought it at 11 years old.
Well, maybe his dad bought it for him or sure. Something like that. That's what I mean. It's been in his possession for 11 years.
We just don't know.
The news right away, too, try to call him a Republican.
Did they?
Yeah. Does it matter?
No.
Let's just say he was a Republican. So what? What does that prove?
All it proves is nothing. It doesn't matter.
Even if it was a Democrat, I wouldn't be chastising the entire party over one guy's actions. But see, that's what the Democrats try to do. They try to put conservatives, Republicans, whatever, GOP. I don't even know what that is anymore. I'm an independent guy. I don't know where your stance is at, Pirate. I'm an independent guy. I can't stand either party. But leave it up to the Democrats to try to pin this on the entire GOP, which is freaking hilarious, man.
Well, it's all like, the finger pointing. They do not want, in this point of the election, to have this blood on their hands.
Right. Right.
They want to look like they're concerned and that they're helping and they're going to tone down the rhetoric and that we're looking out for RFK. We're looking out to, you know,
well, they don't want to accept the reality either that their candidate is a disaster.
Sure. It's not a disaster.
Joe's not a disaster?
No, he's an abomination is what he is.
Abomination. Well, since we're all on this political spectrum here, you know, I still got a few minutes I want to talk about this before I'm ready to give my vocals a break here, because we have been going for about 45 minutes now. What about his mental decline after the debate? Like the press, they've been hammering him and KGP, the spokesperson, and she got visibly pissed.
You're talking about the pink poodle?
Yeah, the poodle. But here's the thing, though. Here's where I'm going to criticize and go off on the press.
Okay.
Where have they been? Okay? Because for the last several years, it's only been a conspiracy theory to say that Biden is going through mental decline.
Well, they're covering up for this.
Exactly. But now that it's obvious they want to slam on the guy, I find that quite hypocritical that they sat back and be quiet and gave softball questions all these years, and now they want to go after
him. Well, I just don't see the political advantage of if they knew that this guy was this
because
bad.
Because it's back to TDS. It's Trump derangement syndrome. They have to prop up Joe, because if they don't prop up Joe, then Trump's going to win. Here's the thing, Pirate. This is all karma coming back and biting in the ass so hard because he said all those nasty things about Trump.
Sure.
They dismissed that Joe Biden has mental decline. And now our presidential candidate had an assassination attempt put on him and had a chunk of his ear shot off.
Well, don't forget, let's back up a little bit. Remember Nikki Haley was running?
Mm-hmm.
Remember she held on so long.
She wouldn't let go of the power.
And, you know, maybe
she didn't have any power, but she was holding on the hopes that she would get the power.
And maybe those Democrats were hoping that.
Of course they wanted her.
Nikki would have got it.
Absolutely. Because there's rumors around the fire camp that she's part of the deep state.
I think.
Yeah, I think a little bit, but.
And I think that they thought that Nikki
could do it.
She'll be a woman that the Republicans will definitely vote for her in the primary. They'll get her in there. They don't want the orange man anymore.
Right. Well, they were wrong.
and this is, like you said, karma, because what they were thinking.
Right. And look at it this way. I thought it was arrogant of Trump not to show up to the debates. Now I think it's fucking hilarious because he didn't go to any of these debates and he just became the Republican candidate.
He didn't need to because.
I know he didn't need to, but I think he still should have showed up. But now,
out of respect,
right,
I get it.
Right. But now it's even more funny because he did do a debate. He did it with Joe, of course. But the fact that in the party, he was so confident and cocky that he's just like, I ain't going to that shit.
Well, it was a shit show. I mean, look at all the guys.
Those debates were a shit show.
I think he knew, and his handlers handled that well.
But back to Joe. George Stephanopoulos interview. Joe Biden said he defeated Putin in the interview. What is it with Joe saying he likes to defeat people? He said he defeated Medicare. Well, they got record profits thanks to the vax. He said they defeated Big Pharma. Again, the vax. So now he says he defeated Medicare in the debates, and that was the comment with when Trump says, "Yeah, you beat Medicare, all right? You beat the hell out of it, you know." And then the Big Pharma comment, he defeated Big Pharma when they have record breaking profits from the vaccine.
Sure.
And then he said he defeated Putin. Did the war in Ukraine and Russia come to an end? Did I miss that headline somewhere? That's what I'm talking about. And then Chuck Todd, MSNBC stooge, claims a cabinet member told him 2 years ago that Biden couldn't run again. And he sat on that information. Sat on it. Now they want to hammer him. So now the media The media are already fucking clowns to start with.
They sure are.
Now I don't even know if there's enough words in the thesaurus to match clown, because, oh, they're fucking awful, dude. Thank God for the internet. Thank God for independent journalists, guys like Tim Pool, Steven Crowder, who else? Dan Bongino. You know, we got even our regular sources with AM radio with Glenn Beck, you know, just
Jesse Kelly,
Mike Church, who's on the internet. He's an internet guy. He used to be on Patriot Channel and XM, but I know there's some other good Patriot DJs on there. And it just
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, they're just, God, they're just so freaking awful. And now they want to go after Joe. In a way, I feel like I want to defend Joe Biden against the media, because they didn't go after him, and now you want to? Oh my God, man! I just, you know, yeah. But and back to Chuck Todd. He's just telling us this now. And Chuck Todd said on a podcast that he was told 2 years ago, a cabinet member, that Biden couldn't run for re-election. Is the timing of this revelation convenient? Why are we just hearing about it now? The answer is simple. We're hearing about it now because it's helpful to the left now. The information would not have helped the left 2 years ago, so Todd sat on it. It's amazing that people in the media are suddenly so forthcoming with information about Biden. That was an article I took for them, Gateway Pundit. So that kind of explains why they sat on it. Or like my opinion, they couldn't go against Joe because that would mean propping up Trump. We knew 2 years ago that Trump was going to run for re-election.
We sure did.
Why do you think all these court cases showed up in the middle of all that? One right after another.
To slow him down.
But you want to know another head explosion moment for the left? The document case got dismissed by the judge.
Yes, it did.
And the leading prosecutor, Jack Smith, is now filing an appeal about it. But they said basically what they did was unconstitutional. Here's what's crazy about this. All this stems from that raid on Mar-a-Lago from the FBI. And we talked about this on the show. It could have been a shootout. They showed up in plain clothes.
Yeah, that could have been dangerous.
That was very dangerous. Why were they showing up in plain clothes to Mar-a-Lago? Look, I'm all about the law. They went in there with a subpoena not a subpoena. Was it a subpoena? What is it when they a warrant?
A warrant
for to seize the, not an arrest, to
warrant
seize.
Warrant for his paperwork.
For his paperwork, even though that was a bullshit warrant, and that's where it got back to with the case.
Yeah.
That warrant should have never been served, and that's where all this case detail has been building up. And basically, that should have never happened because now the Supreme Court talked about presidential immunity because all this happened during that time. The law clearly states that the president and the president alone can take classified documents. Joe Biden took classified documents.
He had the Corvette and the garage.
But he was not authorized because he took those as a VP and senator.
He sure did.
And even the FBI says, well, we cannot put this guy on trial because he doesn't have the mental capacity.
Yeah, that was big.
Right, and it's still big. And now the attorney general refuses to give over the her interview tapes because her was the guy who came up with the report that they shouldn't prosecute. They want to hear, the Republicans wanted, the committee wants to hear this entire audio tape, and the attorney general, Merrick Garland, refuses to give it to him. So now they're trying to bring him up on contempt charges, which failed. But here's the thing. I didn't know this about Congress because they're not really the law enforcers, but they do have law enforcement in the Capitol. If Merrick Garland ever steps foot in the U.S. Capitol, he could be arrested. So how does he avoid arrest? Never go to the Capitol again. As an attorney general, he doesn't really ever have to. He can do a phone call or a Zoom call from now on out. But that goes to show you how corrupt it is, because what Merrick Garland is doing is running cover for Joe Biden, because that interview will reveal, the audio tapes will reveal more how lost Joe is. And according to her, there was a lot of questions he asked that were completely off. You know, Joe is still telling the story about how he lost his son, Bo Biden, in as a combat veteran, like in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yes.
No, he died of some disease back here in the States. Look, I know that sucks losing your son, but why are you lying about it? But I'm answering my own question, because he is a seasoned politician lying is it's like
second nature.
It's like breathing for them.
It's second nature to them.
That's why the turn here, like they want to get on J.D. Vance because J.D. Vance used to be an anti-Trumper. I honestly don't know about much about J.D. Vance. I know he's a Marine veteran and he's from OH-10.
Well, but, I've got a couple
you,
things.
Don't you have something on J.D. Vance? But here, again, it's back to the politics of it doesn't matter what somebody said to you 2 months ago because they'll forgive and forget and move on, just like Kamala did with Joe. Why would you go take a job with somebody that you called a racist? Why? Because he's given you the opportunity to be VP, and it's historical. She's half black, half Indian, first woman VP.
Check all blah, blah, check blah. Marks. Check all the check
hit,
marks.
Hit the DEI check marks, right? Yeah. Didn't earn it.
Yeah.
So what do you got here on Vance?
Well, he originally was born James Donald Bowman. Born August 2nd, 1984 in Middletown, Ohio. That's Eastern Ohio right there.
Bowman. So he got married and changed his last name?
No, he did not. So he was born into a family that had a little bit of drug addiction. And his folks gave him up. And, he was marked with poverty, abuse, and his mother was struggling with drug addiction. And him and his sister were raised primarily by the maternal grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And the grandparents' last name was Vance.
Oh, so he switched his last name.
Yeah, so his he talks a lot about his meemaw and peepaw. And they moved to Ohio from the Appalachian Mountains up in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. They kind of stayed in the area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'd be like a Floridian moving to Alabama or Georgia. You're still kind of in the area.
Yeah, yeah. It's close by Appalachian there.
Right.
And, of course, he went to Middletown High School afterwards in 03, joined the U.S. Marines.
Yep. He's in Jarhead, all right.
Went to Iraq as a combat correspondent. So that's a journalist, isn't it?
He's a journalist. Yeah, he's like Joker from Full Metal Jacket.
Yes. there he was signed to public affairs in the second section of the 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he said that was a defining chapter of his life.
Well, being a Marine is, I can say that for my own personal life. Being a Marine, and albeit it was a long time ago, Pirate. I mean, I've been out for almost 30 years, which is crazy.
Sure.
But every day, the things that I was taught as a Marine stays into me this day. Every day I think about the Marine Corps, not even on purpose, just something comes up in my life. And I probably have never shared this with you, but every day of my life, the Marines are still a part of it.
Well, it's an organization that's a major thing to be a part of, and it's a major stepping stone in life. You go from being a teenager or young adult to being a man when you get out of there, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, Marines pride themselves on being the toughest branch, and we are. I'm not trying to start a fight here. We just are. Got the most badass uniforms. We got the most badass attitude. And the reason why we're called devil dogs, that the Germans gave us that nickname in World War I, that's how we fight. And that's the thing. You know me, I can get fired up in conversation, but I am not a violent person. And the reason why I'm not a violent person, because I feel if I turn on that switch, I'm not going to stop.
Sure.
That's why I don't take a swing or try to bow up on somebody, you know, because I don't know, man. And I'm not trying to be Mr. Tough Guy.
Well, violence ain't always the answer.
Right, right. No, and exactly. Look. We're getting too old for that shit, man. Who wants to fight all the time?
Just like this kid that took a shot at Trump. Is that the answer
Boom.
To this country's problems?
Thank you. But it seems to me that I had more people comment about either the photo shoot thing or didn't want to hear it in general instead of commenting on the actual subject that matter here, that President Trump was almost killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want to talk about that at all, which is curious is all it is. I don't understand that, but well, buddy, we went pretty long on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, JD Vance is the,
you want to wrap it up here and then we'll move on.
Yeah. We're going to wrap this segment up, but JD Vance is the, the pick for the
vice president.
And I think he's a good pick. And,
yeah. I don't know much about him, but what I do know about him, he seems all right. You know?
Yeah. He's, He's very conservative. He's for a lot of different things.
We don't need anything flashy. Well, Trump's flashy enough.
Yeah,
I mean, he is. Look, despite this assassination attempt, come on, man. Trump's a character, man.
Yes,
like it or not, he's a character. So there's enough energy coming out of that 78-year-old man, you know, enough for, you know, three J.D. Vances, I guess.
Well, he's definitely for a lot of conservatism. He supports different.
Well, I don't know what that means.
Different.
I don't know what conservatism means
anymore.
He's
more neo than anything. He's for the abortion.
That's more accepting of liberal ideas, and that's fine.
He's for the just a lot of different conservative issues that we can go on and on and on, and but pretty much. Let's wrap the segment up and we'll move on to the next. Thank you very much. This day in history, July 16th, 2024. 1945, first atomic bomb exploded near Alamogordo, New Mexico, and the following month dropped atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan, which helped the United States quickly end World War II.
Yeah, the Manhattan Project. Did you see that movie Oppenheimer?
No, I remember when it came out. It was on the list.
That's what it's based on. Well, it's kind of dry, man. I'm warning you now. It's a drama and it's dry, but it's
informational, I guess.
I got into it. Oh yeah. Okay. No. Wow, that's cool. I didn't know that's when the New Mexico. You know, that was the first ever atomic bomb. You know, they got so worried about that experiment part that they're worried it was going to burn the atmosphere away.
Oh yeah. They had all kinds of crazy
theories. It's okay
to
laugh now, but think about this was 80 years ago.
Well, they had a lot of crazy theories about that.
No one ever set off a nuke before.
No.
And they're like, well, the amount of explosion, like the scientists are predicting that could possibly burn the atmosphere, you know, which is, wow.
It's possible that they were thinking that way for sure.
Oh yeah.
2004, Chicago, the city of, officially opened Millennium Park, which features fountains and eye-catching sculptures and a large outdoor venue, like a music venue, I guess. And it was designed by architect Frank Gehry.
Nice. I've been there.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's pretty nice.
I haven't seen it yet.
Pretty nice. You haven't been to Chicago lately?
No, not before 04 or before 04.
You haven't been there in quite a while then.
Yeah, it's been before 04.
Me, it's just been like 2 years.
Yeah, I stay this way south of the Mesa-Dixon most of my life. 1999, American publisher and lawyer John F. Kennedy Jr., the only son of John F. Kennedy Sr., the president.
Mm-hmm.
He died after the airplane he was piloting crashed.
Yeah.
Off of Martha's Vineyard.
Yes, I remember that.
In Massachusetts there.
Crashed into the drink, man.
Yeah, also.
Flying at night and lost navigation or something.
Mm-hmm. And also killed was his wife and her sister.
Oh, man. Crazy.
Yeah, that was bad, bad.
The Kennedy family is just freaking cursed, dude.
Riddled with curses.
Golly.
Yeah.
You know, at least RFK gets, you know, Secret Service protection now. Probably the same Secret Service that protected Trump.
You said Trump gets the B. I'm sure RFK
gets the C team.
C team, yeah, if there ever is one.
Yeah.
1979, Saddam Hussein became president of Iraq.
Oh, yeah, old Saddam.
And his brutal rule, which lasted 24 years, was marked by costly and unsuccessful wars with neighboring countries. And also ended up with the USA finally toppling his regime.
Well, he was an ally of ours in the 80s. Ain't that crazy?
Yes, he was.
He was fighting Iran, and we hated Iran.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Hey, just like politics, it can turn.
Just like that. In a snap of a finger, brother.
Yep.
1969. Apollo 11 or 2, I don't know, lifted off from NASA's JFK Space Center, Cape Canaveral. And 4 days later, the two of the astronauts in there, famously known as Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, became the first humans to set a foot on the moon.
Yep.
And that was something, man.
Oh, I know. It still gives me chills.
Yeah, I watch it all the time.
It's one small step for man. Mm-hmm. That's one giant leap for mankind. What a powerful statement. And the story with Armstrong, he thought about this days before that he may be stepping onto the moon. And it was already predetermined. It was going to be him first, then Buzz.
Sure.
So he was trying to come up with sayings, and they said he kind of drove himself a little crazy. What can I do to say?
Yeah, what would you say? Like, hey, I jumped for man, you know?
But think about what he said there. That quote right there is iconic.
Yeah, one small step
for man, one giant leap for mankind. And the crazy part about it, Pirate, you and I weren't even alive when he said that, but we know about that history because to me, it's so powerful.
Well, whenever I watched MTV, I was reminded of it every day.
Because we got to see him on the dun, 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 dun,
and then it would be flickering lights and everything.
Yeah, well, instead of the American flag, it was the MTV flag. And it changed the color,
yellow, green, blue.
It was all different flags
and
designs and everything.
Yeah.
God, I love that. That fucking 80s rocked, man.
And why would they take that off the air now?
Well, because it's all reality TV now.
And dude, Beavis and Butthead would still be around because they'd be sitting on a couch with us watching.
Well, Beavis and Butthead are around, sir. They are back on the Paramount Channel.
Yes, I'm aware of this.
And they're brand new shows, and they're freaking hilarious.
Yeah, but I mean, like, people sitting on the sofa watching videos would be cool again.
Videos are coming back, but everyone watches them on their phones now on YouTube and stuff. Actually, videos are having a small comeback.
Yeah, I watched some videos. I watched some of them.
You can see new artists now with new videos. It dropped off there for a while. So maybe MTV will make a channel dedicated to music videos again. Because remember, VH1 was the spinoff.
Sure.
And now VH1's all reality shows.
Well, I watch them on my Apple Music. They have great videos.
Right, exactly.
And I watch them on Vevo,
too. I watch them on YouTube.
Yeah, and I watch Vevo, too. That's another website.
Yep, another streaming video service. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that is the first part of This Day in History. Now we have Born on This Day.
It's a little celeb.
July 16th, 2024.
Little happy birthdays here.
Yeah, and the first person I'll call is my sister. It's her birthday today, 1980.
Oh.
Am I not the captain of this ship?
So happy birthday, sister, if you're listening or you happen to hear it or anybody that knows her, wish her a little happy birthday.
Are you sure we're talking about the same people?
We sure are. 1967, one of my actors I really like, Will Ferrell.
You like Will Ferrell?
Yeah, American comedy actor, writer, and producer. He was on SNL.
Yes.
He was in the movie Old School. Remember, he was like, we're streaking.
I actually have that on my list to rewatch because it's been a while. Crazy enough, Bart, I'm still not to this day the biggest Will Ferrell fan.
Oh, man.
But with the exception of the movie Elf, I love that movie. And it's a Christmas movie.
I like him when he played Ricky Bobby and that NASCAR spoof,
Talladega
Nights. I like them.
See, what I'm going to do is because my perception of things have changed over the years, because I'm not stiff anymore like I used to be when it came to, I don't like this and that's it. I'm never going to watch it again. I'm actually appreciating stuff that I didn't care for the first time. And I'm even talking recently, like, I know you're not a sci-fi guy, but they did release a fourth Matrix movie.
Uh-huh.
Only came out like a year ago. When I saw it, I was just like, this isn't crappy, but this just isn't no good. I didn't really enjoy it. I recently rewatched it. I appreciate it way more than I did the first time.
Well, that's a great attitude to have, Chewie.
Yeah. So I'm going back with even Will Ferrell and got him on the list of, because I acknowledge he's funny. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like he tries to force it, and I don't like it when I feel like a comic is trying to force things. Just let it happen natural, you know?
Yeah. Well, you might enjoy that old school movie again. Yeah, I thought it was classic. Well,
maybe with The Devil's Grass, it will help.
It's possible.
You know, because my perception of things have been radically changing in the last couple of years here, so maybe it's just one of those things to, partake a little bit in the THC and in the ganja man,
Let's roll back to the
okay, yep.
Born on This Day.
Yep.
1911, Ginger Rogers, American stage film dancer, actress. She was also partner in a lot of movies with Fred Astaire.
Wow, you're going way back.
Yeah, I liked her, and I liked Fred Astaire, and they were in a series of motion picture musicals, which were popular during those years.
Sci-fi connection. Fred Astaire was in one episode of the original 1978 Battlestar Galactica. He played Starbuck's father, or claimed to be.
No shit, wow.
Yep, Fred Astaire is a sci-fi guy.
I learn something new every day.
Yep.
1968, Barry Sanders, NFL pro football player for the Detroit Lions, one of the game's most outstanding running backs ever.
Shit, that guy was fucking amazing.
He was like a train, bro.
Not even a train.
He was like a flash of light.
Yeah, the zigzagging, yes. Man.
He was like a lightning bolt.
There are still photos of him and his legs, and any normal person's legs would be broken in five places.
Well, he used to run so flipping fast, the legs would be flinging and flailing everywhere.
Not even that. You're missing my point again. I'm talking on the shook and jiving and the zipping when he's stepping to the side. You're talking about him just going straight. He didn't just have
I'm talking about
speed.
Whatever direction he was going in, too.
You could not catch the guy, man.
No, he couldn't. No,
he embarrassed our Buccaneers defense, and they were good. And at the time, we had John Lynch, we had Derek Brooks, we had Warren Sapp.
Oh, I remember.
And Barry Sanders ran over us like we were nothing.
I remember when they said the Detroit Lions was coming to play the Bucs. I said, well, it's Barry Sanders coming to play the Bucs. And I remember it was pretty much Barry Sanders.
I was at that game.
Oh, man.
At that game. It was in 1994.
Uh-huh, I remember that.
I came home on leave, and my stepdad and I went to a game, and wow.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I didn't like seeing the Bucks lose, but it was against Barry Sanders.
No, that guy was great. He was legendary. I remember watching him all those years, and he was great. And happy birthday.
Hey, you know what? It was a privilege to see him live.
Oh, yeah. I wish I could have.
Okay, I did, not to rub it in.
I mean, I've seen them on TV and all, but anyway.
I'm saying I've seen them live, dude. I've seen them feet move on our old Tampa. Remember the old Sombrero Tampa Stadium?
Yeah, I've been there.
That's where it was. Yep.
1936, Fukuro Yasuo.
What the fuck?
Japanese prime minister.
Really?
Yeah, he was prime minister from 07 to 08, so it's his birthday today.
I mean, you brought up the Asian thing.
And with that, that is this day in history segment.
Lost your tongue.
Yes, yes, yes. Florida Man News is back once again. The news that you all love to hear. Yes, the Florida Man Games are returning, Chewy. The second edition.
Oh, boy.
Yes, the Florida Man Games will take place next March 2025.
Didn't you say you watched it on ESPN or something?
I did. It was great, dude. I loved it, man. I got some Miller Lite, sat back, and, you know, I had like a sofa out on the back porch and was sitting out there watching it. And
this almost sounds like the equivalent of every year I watch the 4th of July Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Something
it's
like
just
that.
Ridiculous,
yes,
man.
It's just...
And they're a little sidetracked. It was a little weird this year with no Joey Chestnut, but it did open up the field for other people to win.
Yeah, that was a good point.
You know.
Well, if you want to join, or if we, Pirate and Chewy, want to join the Florida Man Games, we have to, it is now open to submit your teams. And then you take a trip to St. Augustine back in March, and you'll be able to.
Well, how many you need on a team? There's only two of us.
I'm not sure. I'll look that up.
and no offense to any of our friends this age. They would say they're down for it. But physically, there's no way in hell.
Yeah, yeah. I think some of the events are pretty rough.
Yeah, well, I'm saying you got to have a degree of physicality. And amongst our circle of friends, you and I are the only ones that have it, man. I don't see these guys getting past the first obstacle.
Yeah, we'd have to recruit some other recruitees. You know? Let's move on.
Get some fake friends.
Yeah.
We've been friends since the 80s.
Some friends in low places.
Right, right. Wow.
All right, number two here. Florida man drinks booze and eats chips after breaking into home in Lehigh Acres.
Yeah.
Mr. Jose Barbosa broke into a family's home while they were outside in their pool swimming around.
Dang. Wow. That's bold. They were home.
I mean, bold as hell. Yeah. I mean, shit, anybody. Well, this is what happened. While inside, Barbosa helped himself to two alcoholic beverages and a bag of Lay's chips.
Not looking for jewelry. Nah, not looking for money.
I'm hungry and I need a beer.
Not stealing a phone that could be laying around or an iPad. He got himself two alcohol beverages and some Lay's tater chips.
Yep. And, of course, one of the family members had happened to need to go into the house for some reason.
Yeah. Well, you got a micturate, right?
Yeah, that was probably happening.
You're not supposed to go in the pool.
No, they had the blue dye going on. They couldn't do that. So they had to roll up in the house, and they noticed Mr. Barbosa up in the house. So they quietly decided to go in the next room and dial 911.
Wow.
Without confronting. Mm-hmm. And that's when deputies arrived, and they arrested him after a small scuffle in the house. And they had to use the use of a non-lethal shotgun.
Oh, dang. He got the beanbag.
Like Knoxville did.
Oh, that's got to hurt. Dude. It will not kill you, but it's going to hurt you.
It's going to lay you down, boy.
Oh, God, yeah.
Can you imagine if you got hit in the NISADs again, man? Woo!
Never know. Hey, during a struggle, you're just going to try to shoot the guy. You're not trying to go for the balls, but it could happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends if he was jumping around like a little rabbit, you know?
And it got, so the guy breaks into this house, takes somebody's booze, eats their potato chips, gets caught, the police show up, and he tries to fight with the cops, so they beanbag shotgun him.
Yeah, they probably had like one guy like, Harold, you hold the shotgun. If he gets out of control, you let him have it, boy.
Blast him.
And he just went, boom! Oh!
Okay, well, it just like you said, just like Knoxville.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh. And they probably played it back, and, you know, they had the cop cam. They probably played it slow motion. Check this out.
Oh, I'm sure amongst themselves, you see the guy, he's like,
Yeah, dude, that sucks, man. Get hit. Look.
Anyways,
that will teach you a lesson. But
don't go breaking in someone's house for no reason, you know, at all. I mean, you shouldn't even have there should be no reason, but what a bizarre break-in.
Yeah, and of course he's been charged with burglary, battery, and petty theft.
Yeah, I mean, standard charges there. I mean, he only drank a couple beers and stole some chips. There's not a charge for
that. Well, it is theft. He did steal someone's beer.
Right. I guess that's the part I'd be pissed off about. Hey, that's my beer, man.
Yeah, dude.
That's a good story.
All right. Well, here we are with another one here. Another county that we hear a lot of news from, Citrus County.
Okay.
This county is turning into another Hillsborough County.
Yeah.
Florida man in U-Haul truck leads Citrus County deputies on a chase before crashing into a fence and a tree.
Oh, boy.
An Inverness man is behind bars after deputies say he led them on a chase in a U-Haul van. Citrus County deputies tried to pull over the white U-Haul van for running a stop sign on Norvell Bryant Highway. The driver, Michael Allen Pierce, 27, decided after being pulled over that he's just going to take off, which then prompted deputies to continue eastbound chasing him.
Yeah.
And so he quickly took a turn onto Croft Avenue, and this is when it began initiating a pursuit.
Wow.
So as several deputies chased in a pursuit, speeds reached in excess of 80 miles per hour.
Hauling ass on those local roads, huh?
Oh, yeah, those little country roads up there. They're slowly getting built up there. But mm-hmm. Deputy said they set up a bunch of stop sticks, which they missed his vehicle, and it actually hit one of the deputy's vehicles, and the driver's side tires had blowed out.
Dang.
But the chase continued, and other deputies continued to chase him to the city of Inverness, where the U-Haul's rear tire started going flat, and the rim started sparking. At that point, the U-Haul vehicle ran a red light and went down a narrow road near Floral City, which we're really getting up into the country there. Going 60 miles an hour, the driver then went down a dead-end road and crashed through a wooden fence, then stopped by hitting a tree. Pierce then bolted on foot. and deputies finally caught up and arrested him. Pierce has been charged with fleeing, eluding with disregard for safety, criminal mischief, reckless driving with property damage, resisting arrest without violence, driving on a suspended driver's license, and he has no set bond.
I mean you no harm.
And he is in the Central City County Jail.
No.
So here is the last Florida man story of the evening, y'all. Florida man who fell asleep in Taco Bell drive-thru charged with DUI.
You fucked it up!
Lakeland, Florida.
All right. So let me recap real quick, because you just started it, but let me paint a picture here, because sometimes I don't comprehend this right. He was at a Taco Bell. He ordered food, obviously, and he's drunk.
Yes.
What the hell happened?
Well, here we go. Here we're in the town of Lakeland.
I'm trying to
Florida.
Think, where does this go?
It goes bad, actually.
Okay.
So a man actually fell asleep in the drive-thru of a Lakeland Taco Bell, and he was actually accused of driving under the influence. So Polk County Sheriff's arrived at the Taco Bell on US 92 at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. to report of a suspicious person. So I'm guessing what happened is, because Taco Bell don't open until like noon, I think, unless they serve breakfast.
They do serve breakfast.
Some do.
Yeah, some do. Right.
Maybe they seen this vehicle. I don't know that we ordered something at 1 a.m. and just stayed in the drive-thru the whole night. I'm not sure. They found Marcus Jamar, 34, who had fallen asleep in the driver's seat in his white Nissan Altima while it was running.
Hope it wasn't in gear.
In the drive-thru lane. I think he may have had it in park. I'm not sure. Or maybe his foot on the pedal. Polk County deputies say Jamar's eyes were bloodshot. Mm-hmm. And watery, and he was very slow to react, sweating profusely, and had breath smelled of alcohol.
And he was hungry.
Oh, definitely. According to deputies, Marcus had a Taco Bell receipt, a stick of gum, and a Florida ID card that belonged to another man in his hands when they found him.
Man, well, yeah, what you doing with the fake ID there? Somebody else's ID.
He was up to no good, and they added that inside the car, they found an open bottle of Crown Royale.
Wow.
Some fentanyl and marijuana, the devil's grass.
Oh, man, he's just setting himself up here.
Yes, he is. He had a lot of stuff in there, didn't he, man? Mm-hmm. He was really carrying a lot of contraband.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah, well, Jenkins was arrested for DUI and taken to the infamous Polk County Jail and charged with 3 felonies and a misdemeanor felony.
Wow.
Or 4 misdemeanors, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So, how about them apples?
Oh, man, what a loser.
And that is Florida Man News.
All right. So, this gets us to the final part of the show, which is going to be the song of the week. And then last song of the show with the commercial stuff here. But before we get to it, it seems like lately we've had a little backstory to tell you about it. Anyways, the song is from Van Halen, and it's called Right Now, and it's from their 1991 album For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. And the reason why we picked Van Halen is because Chewbacca went to see a version of Van Halen Sunday night. Sammy Hagar is doing a tour, and he's calling it the best of all worlds, and he's basically going to play Van Halen music from all the eras. So that it means the David Lee Roth music.
I like that.
His music. No Gary Cherone. Sorry, he doesn't count. And he played a little bit of the Red Rocker. So this was at the amphitheater, and we had a rain delay. So Loverboy was supposed to open for us. So we didn't get to see Loverboy. So, you know, not so disappointed, but you know,
well, Loverboy would have been cool to see. I mean,
it would have been fine, but at the same time, because we had a rain delay, they didn't get to play at all. They didn't even do one song. So the roadies got the stage set up for Sammy, Mm-hmm. And I am a huge Van Halen fan. I always have been. I'm a Dave guy. I'm a Sammy guy. Ultimately, I'm an Eddie Van Halen guy.
Oh yeah, he's great.
He was the heart of that band. He was the soul of that band. He was everything about that band. And he made his brother. He made Mikey on bass. He made himself. He made Dave. He made Sammy even better musicians. You know, because musically they became really, really good in their own rights for what they do. But I was skeptical when I heard about that they're going to do Van Halen because, you know, we went to Sammy last year. Remember Pirate? They did a few songs, but not that many.
Yeah, it was a great concert. Man.
But he played more of his Chicken Foot and his Montrose and his Red Rocker stuff. Basically, some of his solo and his other collaborations. He only played a couple of Van Halen songs, right?
Sure.
So I was skeptical when I heard he wants to do a Van Halen reunion tour. And he did ask Alex and Wolfie and Dave to join, but they all declined, which was fine. That would have been really cool if they could have showed up too, but they declined. So he teamed up with Michael Anthony on bass, the OG bass player, basically, or at least the bass player that's been with him the longest. He also brought in Jason Bonham, who's the son of the legendary John Bonham of Led Zeppelin.
That was a great drummer.
Right. So we have a little bit of Led Zeppelin that's a part of this. And you got to see Jason last year. He was the drummer at the show when we went to last year.
I enjoyed it.
The new addition to the band, at least this is on the touring end, was Ralph. No, not Ralph. Ray.
Okay.
Ray from Australia.
Okay? Australia, eh?
Yeah. And what was interesting about Ray, he played the keyboard. Now, I had never seen a live keyboardist in a Sammy show because it's always been backing tracks.
Okay.
You know, like Jump. Dun, 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 dun. That was always backing tracks.
Oh, okay.
So it was nice to see somebody actually playing the keyboard.
I like that.
Well, Ray's multi-talented. He also played rhythm guitar and was also backup vocals.
Really?
So he was a nice addition to the sound. And then let's get to Mr. Joe Satriani.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Dude, he fucking shredded. Shredded. I got a lump in my throat several times. Of course, my buddy called me a pussy over it.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a little emotional.
Did you?
Because I felt Eddie's presence on the stage. Because you know who replaces Eddie Van Halen? Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, that's about it.
Nobody replaces Eddie Van Halen.
Legendary, dude.
But if there is one person on this planet who could play like Eddie Van Halen, that would be Mr. Joe Satriani. And I've always known of the guy. I can't say I've always been the biggest fan of him. I got nothing against him, but he was a guitarist. He done some solo stuff, but he's one of those music artists that's been all over the place. And he's worked with Sammy before. He was in the Chicken Foot band with him.
Yes.
So I was like, good pick. And then a few months ago, or even about a year ago, the band was on Howard Stern. And Joe Satriani told Howard Stern he's having a hard time learning some of Eddie's riffs. And Howard Stern was blown away. He was like, you're Joe fucking Satriani, man. And he goes, I know. He goes, don't worry, I'll learn it. But this is complicated. So Joe Satriani, arguably the greatest electric guitarist that's alive right now, is admitting he's having a hard time doing what Eddie did. But he got past all that because when Joe was on the stage, of course, playing, I got the chills. He even went up into the fretboard and made it talk.
Yeah, I love when he made it talk. Dude.
Absolutely beautiful, man. And then musically, Pirate, they sounded so good. And Sammy went deep into the archives of some Van Halen songs. You've got to be like a big fan to remember some of these songs. He played the standards, Panama, Jump. He played the song you picked right now, you know. So he played some of the more mainstream songs, but he also got into songs like Judgment Day. Did you remember that one?
I've heard of that one.
The Seventh Seal.
Yeah, I've seen it on the album.
Oh, yeah, The Seventh Seal and 5150.
Oh, that's a good one.
He played some songs I have never heard live before. I didn't even hear these songs when I saw Sammy with Van Halen years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, And then he played songs I have not heard since Eddie, like Pound Cake.
Oh, yeah. I remember
because,
that.
See, Sammy left the band in the, I think, early 2000s. And then they went back to Dave. Well, when Dave joined the band, they had, part of it was Dave would not do any Sammy songs. So it sounded a little arrogant. But at the same time, Dave didn't need to do Sammy songs. And there's a reason why. They had so many songs with Dave. The concert would go 2.5 hours and that's good enough. So they had enough content. So I have not got to hear Pound Cake since 2008. So it'd been a while since I've heard Pound Cake. And Joe Satriani pulled out that drill right by the guitar. And then just flawless, man. And then there was one point in the concert where Sammy pulled out the tequila.
Cabo.
And yeah. And he gave a swig to Jason. Jason talked. And he still got his English accent, even though he's a Floridian now. He lives in Florida. So that's cool. Jason Bonham lives in our state.
He's
awesome.
He's a local.
He's a mate.
He's a mate.
He's a mate. Ray took a swig. And Ray got introduced, so we got to find out about Ray. He's from Australia, and Sammy introduced him. Mikey took a swig, and he's like, "How about you, Joe?" Joe just shook his head, and he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Man, I'm gonna have to get you to take a drink, man. You gotta relax a little bit." And then he told the crowd, he said, "The reason why Joe is not drinking is because he's afraid of screwing up."
Yeah.
So I admired that.
Yeah.
So Joe was sober. Because he's also a perfectionist. And it is very hard to try to play like Mr. Eddie Van Halen. And he was absolutely flawless. Me being a former musician myself, I noticed things as a musician other people wouldn't. Granted, I didn't play guitar. I've picked at the guitar, but I've never played. But I played other instruments. Man, I saw the love he was putting into playing. And at the same time, hearing songs that I've not heard live in a long time. Friggin' kicked ass, man. Just kicked ass. So what a great show. And it really just became the Sammy. And he played some Mantra stuff. He played, you know, heavy metal. And he played, of course, I Can't Drive 55. Come on. I love that song.
Love,
man.
That song.
And the place went nuts. Everyone got back up on their feet for I Can't Drive 55. I pretty much stood the entire concert. I barely sat down. I sat down when he talked a little bit, and he kept signing autographs. People would throw shit up on stage while he was singing. And I thought that was cool. You don't see too many music artists that still do that. The guy's 76 years old, still up there belting away, and a hell of a guitar player himself. I think Sammy's a little underrated with his guitar play because you know him as a singer, but he was originally a guitar player.
And it's just amazing. You're saying he's 76 years old, and he's still rocking out, drinking tequila on the stage.
Still hitting the high notes.
Hitting high notes, drinking tequila with his buddies up there.
And you know what? The crowd was into it too, man, because the crowd can make a difference at a show. And one thing that cracked me up, to my left, there was a group of probably about 20 gentlemen. Every time between songs and everything, they started chanting USA.
Oh, nice.
So I think we had some patriotic Trump supporters up there. And no offense to you Democrats, but I don't ever hear you Democrats chant USA, USA. So I'm assuming they were Trump guys. Either way, it became funny because after every song, when everyone's clapping and woohoo and everything, you start hearing USA, USA.
Well, rock and roll is Americana.
And rock and roll is America. And, you know, I didn't mean to make it political. I sure. Just did. Maybe it was just a bunch of patriots, man.
Could have been. And they were happy to be at the concert.
And, you know, and that's what it was. Everybody was happy.
Happy to be an American at a rock concert.
The weed was not too strong.
But it was prevalent.
It was definitely prevalent. I had a couple Mick Ultras.
Okay, good.
Bought a concert shirt.
Nice.
So everything about it was beautiful. Mikey, bass player, sang a Dave song. Ain't Talking About Love.
Ain't Talking About Love.
Yep.
That's a great song.
Yep. And then again, here, Joe Satriani. You know, so we could play a shitload of Van Halen, but I like your pick now. He definitely did right now. And he's basically doing this 2-month tour because he's going to do this big birthday in Cabo for his 76th, 77th birthday.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I hope I have that kind of energy when I'm his age. He looked great.
Sang
great, looked great, energetic. And to hear that kind of music live of one of my favorite rock and roll bands of all time.
And he still looks good for his age.
Oh, he looks great. He looks absolutely great. And Pirate, I got to tell you, one of my top shows ever.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Next to the old Van Halen, because I've seen Van Halen a bunch of times in the past, and with Eddie, of course. Again, a privilege that I got to see that man play at least three times. But Joe kept the spirit going with him and is going to honor him great. But when I say one of my favorite concerts of all time, I throw this in there with Metallica. I throw it in there with Iron Maiden. And now I'm going to put a tribute show, basically, of two former members, because that's what it is. Just incredible, man. I'm going to have to go on Sammy's website. A lot of times they'll sell you the concert footage.
Yeah.
Like I have Metallica's cover. The concert I was went to, I specifically bought Orlando show back in 2017. I think it's cool to listen to the show I was actually at. Because, you know, when it's live, they play a little different variants and stuff. And you remember stuff like that. I'm going to have to check Sammy's site. And I hope that he's releasing. I'll more than gladly pay $30 for it. It doesn't matter. I think I paid $30 for Metallica. But I was like, I was at that show. I want that CD. Now, it wasn't a CD. It was digital. But they'd still, and that's a cool thing. At least at the time, Metallica would still send you a CD if you didn't want to do the digital download.
I like concerts that are live.
Yeah.
I think it's great to hear them sing live.
Yeah. So that's going to go ahead and wrap up this show. Just wanted to give you my concert bit recap. And please, any suggestions, feedback, send us an email at acabonaradio@gmail.com. That's acabonaradio@gmail. You can find us on our website where you are listening to the show from. There's no other place to listen to the show, but we're going to change that here in the future.
Coming soon.
Yep. With at www.acabonaradio.com. We are on X at acabonaradio and search for us. We're on Facebook. It's all over the road with Pirate and Chewbacca. So, enjoy the song, because we're going to be vanilla for the next few weeks, and we're going to change some things up when it comes to the intro music, but this will be like
the content will still be the same.
Will still be the same, but this just happens going to be the last song, and that'll be it, because I have to pull that for licensing. I'm not paying for that license. It's several thousand dollars to use commercial music. It ain't worth it. There's plenty of what they call royalty-free music out there that we
can use. We'll use that.
Yep.
Get to the next step.
Yep. So thank you for downloading the show. Any final words, Pirate?
If you open a beer and it's stale, reach in the fridge and grab a nice cold one that's not. Enjoy.